Man, nothing like primetime football at Acushnet, man. I'm just really appreciative of the atmosphere and the quality of play. Thought we got stronger as the game went on in all three phases. Man, we made plays in all three phases. Last night we talked about A-player performance, particularly on stages such as this, primetime television and so forth. And I just thought we had a lot of guys that displayed A-player characteristics. Can't say enough about young Beanie Bishop, man. That's an awesome evening, man, for him to get his first two interceptions versus a gold jacket guy like Aaron Rodgers, man. We're just appreciative of the work that was done tonight to make the night what it was. Hopefully there's growth in this as we move forward, man. But it's good to get a win.
And when they did, Mike Tomlin pushed his chips into the middle of the table, benched the 4-2 quarterback, starts a guy who throws for 264, two touchdowns, ran for another, and the Steelers at 5-2 atop the AFC North. We'll see what happens with the Baltimore Ravens tonight. And joining us now to get into all of it is our friend, Mark Caboli. He's brought to you by Bet365. Also, the injury lawyers of LGKG. LGKG Western PA injury lawyers for over 90 years. LGKG.com. Caboli wearing his For the Brand sweatshirt here, courtesy of Pat McAfee. I hope he's paying in more than just sweatshirts, my guy.
Oh, man, I got the big old swag bag the other day from the old Shop 412, the place down the south side where they do their business with. But before I say anything, I just want to say three words. Well, well, well.
Yeah, you did say
what happened.
You said this is how it would go. You said Russ was the guy, that it made sense. I still think, even if Mike Tomlin didn't have to think long and hard about it, if this was predetermined as we discussed earlier, Doran, I still think it takes a lot of nuts to sit down a 4-2 quarterback, man.
I don't think that is, because I don't think that Justin Fields showed enough to be able to be that guy that was just clear and free of being that guy of being 4-2. I mean, I think he got a lot of help. There was a lot of ancillary things that happened to make them 4-2. Just because they were 4-2 doesn't mean to me that Justin Fields made them 4-2. So I don't think it was that big of a decision when you just see the body of work that you saw from Fields over, I mean, Wilson over his career and even into practice, even into some of the OTAs. That's exactly what we would expect. I said that, I don't even know where I said that recently. I said, you will see immediately the difference between Fields and Russell and how they throw the ball. And you saw it almost immediately.
Did you?
Maybe after the third series, but you saw it.
Like, after the third series, I mean, there's a lot of people, there's people booing. I mean, it looked like he It looked like he needed to knock some rust off, which any football mind would expect that he would have rust. But did you feel like whenever those three series went down and he wasn't looking great, did you feel like, oh, well, maybe he doesn't have it? Did you ever have a doubt in your mind?
Oh, of course you're going to have a doubt early on right there, because you had the look of he wasn't really getting the time. So you were looking, okay, everybody's saying that the offensive line and he needed to have – he didn't have the legs that Justin had to be able to escape from that. And that came to fruition early in that game. He was getting early pressure up the middle, but then they started to move him on the run outside the pocket where he was very good at.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people said, well, Russ is, you know, cooked. His legs are done. He can't move. Well, we see that that's not 100% true. Justin Fields is obviously at a different level when it runs the ball, but he's very capable enough, Russell Wilson, to move himself out of the pocket. And when you take some of those deep throws, man, you don't have to be good. You just have to give that guy, and that guy is 14, an opportunity to make balls. And I don't know if Justin decided he didn't want to do that, he wasn't allowed to do that, or he couldn't do that, but he didn't do that, which then Russell was able to do that, and that just changes the game.
We talked about it on Friday, Doran. So many folks said this is going to alter the Steelers' running game for the negative. Without a guy to have to contend with numbers-wise in Justin Fields who can pull the ball and run. But we talked about if you start hitting deep passes down the field, you start hitting play action. He went 8-9 on play action from under center. That's going to open stuff up in the running game. And you brought this up earlier in the show. This is how they envisioned it.
Uh-huh.
Play action. Get him on the move. Deep shots, run the football. It wasn't a perfect game offensively because of the slow start, but you can attribute a lot of that to rust. Other than that, it was pretty much exactly how they drew this thing up. And I feel better about the Steelers right now than I have since like 2018, Mark. How do you feel?
I have to think about what happened in 2018.
It was the Saints game.
I thought Joe Hayden game.
Yes, with the bad calls. And I thought if they had won that game and they had gone to the playoffs, I thought they had a real shot. That's the last time I felt as good about them as I do right
the
now.
The infamous, you don't want to meet them in the playoffs type of situation.
Correct.
But yeah, I mean, another thing is you see that throw he threw to Calvin Austin was nobody was within 20 yards of him.
All right.
I saw that two or three times earlier this season, and Justin didn't see it. I mean, that doesn't mean – it doesn't diminish of what that play was that – because Wilson was able to see and able to deliver on that play. But you're right. I mean, this is how they want to see it. And another thing that you look – what was impressive to me was is that running game was not working early. Basically, the pass set up the run. And you don't normally see that very often. They were run blitzing hard. They were playing, obviously, a lot of man coverage there. Their offensive line was just getting eaten alive early in that game. Give him credit for being able to turn that around, but that's the first time I've seen in a while that the passing game set up the running game. You open it up, score some points with the passing game, then you close it down with the running game, and that's what they did.
That's exactly how they want to operate, and I may have talked to somebody before the game that said that that's exactly the approach that they wanted to take. I can't tell you, but like that is exactly the approach that they wanted to take, and it made a lot of sense. I mean, you want to get Russ going, right? So you throw the ball and you get him into a rhythm. Even if it doesn't look good, you keep doing it. And then whenever you find that stride, then it's like, okay, we're going to close this game out with Najee. We're going to close this game out with Jalen. And that's the identity that they want to have. And what's the stat? The Fields to Wilson under center?
Justin Fields had been under center for 44 snaps this season through six games. And Wilson was under center for 41 in this game. I mean, that's the offense.
Yes.
That's who they want to be. Here's the other thing, and we had theorized about this for a long time. If and when Russ is in there, are they going to tell him, hey, protect the football, check it down, be conservative, or are they just going to say, go sling it, and because you're not going to put the ball in harm's way? And I think we got our answer. It was the latter. He threw the ball down the field a ton. I can't think of a single ball that was in danger of being a turnover-worthy play. Not one. Am I wrong in that? I don't think there was one ball that could have been picked off.
Well, a couple of those jump balls, if George Pickens wasn't a freak, I guess you could have said it could have come down one way or the other. But those are still 50-50 balls, probably 60-40 balls when you look at that that way. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, he put him in position to be able to do that early in games by throwing the ball down the field and taking control of the ball. I think it does speak a ton of we've said it for a while, or at least I said it for a while, is the Steelers didn't fully trust Justin Fields. I think that just was magnified last night.
Yeah.
They said, Russell, you haven't played since Christmas last year. I don't really care. Go do what you want to do. And it worked.
You saw him at the line, too. I mean, how many times did you hear him, like, shouting and talking?
The cadence. The cadence is very, very important with him, too. And you hard to do that if you're in the pistol or in the shotgun for that to be able to work as well. So it was perfect. The question is, can you do it another game? I mean, Giants stink, but a lot of times these things don't carry over. But they are in very good position, 5-2, very could be 6-2 with a tough stretch. And, I mean, another thing is it gets all those other guys involved now. All of a sudden, Van Jefferson looks decent. All of a sudden, Calvin Austin looks decent. Now they're going to say, hey, I can catch this ball too. I can make plays as well, except for the Calvin Austin drop, which was pretty significant at the time.
Sure was.
Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, all these guys are now thinking, this ball could be coming to me and it's going to be hitting me in the chest. I can be making plays here. Forget Pickens. We know what he can do, but those other three or four guys are now coming into play and all of a sudden, they don't look as bad as maybe they are.
What was one of the biggest questions last week and, you know, throughout the first couple weeks of the season? Like, can Russ elevate this receiving core? That was one of the biggest questions we've talked about. And look what happened last night. Look how many, like, everybody was involved. And not just, like, one little catch. Like, everybody was over 30 yards that was a viable option in the offense. Everybody.
And I saw a couple of people say, boy, if these receivers, tight ends, made plays for Justin Fields the way they did for Russell Wilson, well, maybe Justin Fields would still be the guy. Look, I think Russ knows exactly how much touch to put on a ball, how to throw guys open, how to anticipate. And yeah, you need your guys to make plays. But the two guys that really made plays, George Pickens, who wants $30 million a season, and Pat Freiermuth, who just got paid a boatload of money. The Steelers are paying those guys to make exceptional plays. And I also think Russ put them in a good position.
You know, another thing that Russ did was very low-key was early in that game, he rolled to the left, and there was somebody came straight free. And he just stopped and did a little shimmy shake to the inside and hit somebody for about 10, 15 yards. Those are plays that, you know, could be negative yards. I remember seeing this week some people saying, hey, where are you going to make up for these potential negative yards with Justin Fields not running the ball and Russell can't? Well, you throw the ball down the field and you make it up in the passing game. And that's what they did.
It is. Jay Glazer reports that the decision was Mike Tomlin's and Mike Tomlin's alone. We'll get Caboli's thoughts on that as we continue breaking down Steelers 37, Jets 15. More on the way. You can always get involved by texting us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
I talked to Mike Tomlin about it last night, TB, and he said, look, I went Lone Ranger on it because, TB, you're not the only one who was against this. There's a lot of people inside that organization who were as well. And he said, look, if it doesn't work out, I'll take the heat. I'll shoulder the blame. No problem. He said, the reason why I did this is I knew I had two quarterbacks going into camp that are very capable, but I wanted to see both of them before I made a long-term decision. Well, I haven't seen the other one. I want to see at least what I have from him, exhaust all options, and then make a decision down the stretch. He said, I'm not trying to win games. I'm trying to win a world title here. I got to see what I got in both.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. That's the voice of Jay Glazer's, Mike Tomlin's good friend. Works for Fox. So basically that was Mike Tomlin just telling Jay what he wants out there, which is, I'm a lone wolf, the Lone Ranger. I made the decision. Other reports from throughout the day suggesting that this was not something that was unanimous by any stretch within the Steelers organization. Mark, do you think this was Mike Tomlin's decision and Mike Tomlin's decision alone?
Everything's Mike Tomlin's decision. Now, Mike Tomlin's decision alone? First of all, who's going to call him on this? I mean, who has the stroke power that says, no, we got to rethink this? I don't know anybody.
Nobody.
You think Arthur Smith? I mean, you know him better than me. Would he stand up in that situation 6 games into the season as your career as the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers and say, Mike, you're making a mistake?
Not at this point, no. He doesn't have any
stripes. So who's telling him this? It's not going to be Omar. It's not going to be Art Rooney. I think Tomlin was trying to get out in front of it just in case it went bad.
Yeah.
And say, hey, this is me. It comes from Jay Glazer. We all know the friendship there. But it's always been Mike Tomlin's decision. If I find somebody pushing back on that, who are we talking about? Are we talking about the guy running the parking lot? You know, I mean, the security guy. I mean, I just don't
cafeteria
know.
Cafeteria workers. You do a great job, by the way. Whew, it's good stuff.
I mean, I just don't see anybody that has – I mean, is Mike Sullivan going to pull him to the side? No, I just don't think so. I think he was just covering his coaching staff and other people to say that this is my decision.
I would imagine if it weren't unanimous, it is now. I mean, I can't imagine there's a single player in that locker room not named Justin Fields who doesn't think this is the way. And I would think that you're now going to play Russ unless he's hurt the rest of the season. I mean, this is now the ceiling for this offense, which there were really good moments at times with Justin Fields. I wanted them to go with Justin Fields, but this was their best by far offensive performance of the season. And I don't think you can ever sit Russ down, Doran, because you know this is in there. Like, there's always the potential. Even if Russ has a bad game or two, you can always reference this and say, yeah, but that's what we're capable of. I think it's his show now.
Yeah, I mean, he has total command. I mean, he's always had command. That's why he's so enticing to, you know, play that position. And he's just been around for so long. And that's just like a developmental thing that he's, you know, done over his career. Like, there's so many characteristics that go into playing quarterback than just throwing the football. Like, he has those other ones that Justin yet has experienced yet or developed yet. And even if he does have an off day, you can't teach Justin to have that type of command and leeway within the offense within 1 week of Yeah, you know, hey, let's get a spark. Yeah. Now, I do think that Justin is going to play as the season does go on. I still think that that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's a little surprising he didn't get anything. But now I understand why.
Right.
You don't want to, first game back, throw Justin in there for a handful. I mean, that might be disrespectful to Russell. It might be disrespectful for Justin Fields at the time, because there were plays where he could have and probably should have been in there. But you got endless possibilities with Justin Fields to have a package, if it's short yardage, red zone, or whatever it is, to come in here. But let's get this established first and move forward. But, you know, I don't think it was that big of a call by Mike Tomlin. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, let's sit here and see what this guy can do over these two games. And it was going to be a two-game stretch here. It was going to be reevaluated during the bye week, and it could have went back to the old self. And what are we doing here? It was a chance to see what you got.
I agree.
See, we don't need to fight on a day like this. A beautiful victory Monday in Steelers Nation. It's the best I've felt about the team in over a half decade.
Oh, wait a second. You had him like 14-1 last year.
Before the season. Before the season, I had him at 12-5. That was before the year. Then they played a game, and I changed things, and people made fun of me because I think I dropped them down to 9-8 at that point.
Yes.
But the only thing I would push back on is you said Mike Tomlin needed to get out in front of it, and that's why he talked to Glazer in the way he did. He got out in front of it because he knew if they lost the game, it was going to look bad. So I don't know that it was a difficult decision, but in some circles, it was an unpopular decision. Like, he knew all along, whenever he had seen enough from Fields, he was going to go to Russell Wilson, thus making it not difficult for him. But he knew that there were a lot of people, locally, nationally, fan base, in the locker room, in the front office, that weren't super on board with it. That's why he got out in front of it with Glazer.
But do you think he gives one flying piece of turd about that? What you think, the fans thinks, the national media thinks, doesn't care.
He has to in some...
He doesn't.
He has to in some form or fashion, or else there's no reason for Glazer to go on Fox and say what he said. To take a call from Tomlin the night before the game, as per Glazer, where Tomlin says, this is my decision...
Because if it went south,
that's what I'm saying.
You could have blamed, well, Arthur Smith wanted this, or
so he's trying to protect those guys and say, like, it's my fault.
And it's a good leadership move. It is. But I think that's why he did it. Here's a stat. This one just tweeted out moments ago by Rich Cimini. He's verified, so he must be important. Yeah, he covers the Jets
for like ESPN.
Yeah, he covers the Jets for ESPN. Quarterback.
He was on Starkey's show the other day.
Yeah, he was supposed to be on at 11. I think it was 11:35. Game in a nutshell, this according to Rich. 10-plus air yard throws. Rodgers, 4 out of 10, 7.2 yards per attempt, 2 picks. Russell Wilson, 5 out of 6, 24.8 yards per attempt.
Wow.
God, ain't that nice to see.
Plus the 29-yard pass interference call, too. You got to probably lump that in there, too.
Which, guess what? They call that an awful lot in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to give benefit of the doubt to the wide receiver. It opened everything up. Correct me if I'm wrong. The first deep shot was pass interference, right? Not completion, or do I have that wrong?
No, I think the first one was the one-handed catch on the sideline. It might have been the second one. I know the pass interference was definitely on Sauce Gardner. There's one down the middle that he didn't get to that could have been called, but it was a little bit underthrown. That was probably one of his worst throws of the game, the underthrow, because he underthrew him. Was it? Post route, I think. But other than that, it's hard to find. Well, the one behind the line of scrimmage almost kind of was.
That was on purpose.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened there.
It was on purpose. He dirted it because he saw the corner just kind of block its way, push through the outside
receiver. Is that a choice, though? I mean, could he have handed that off if he
he made the decision to not hand it off. Yeah. And because he thought that the bubble was going to be there, the bubble screen, and then he saw, like, the last minute, I was like, oh, man, that white jersey's out there. Let me just throw it into the ground. That was 100%, I believe, on purpose.
Yeah, it'd have been a six-yard loss
right.
if that ball gets
or
completed.
Picked.
Yeah, or worse. Exactly. Someone just texted in, sit Russ? Are you high? No. We're not talking about sitting Russ to play Justin Fields. We're talking about Justin Fields getting a couple of packages. A couple of series,
or even
a couple of plays.
Right. No, I mean, we're talking 5 to 7 plays,
right?
You know, and third in the shorts, a goal line situation. That first and goal at the one.
And you know what? I cannot even. And I wanted Fields to play a little bit in this game if he wasn't going to start. I can't even criticize their decision not to get him in there because the crowd was out for blood early. They had those three straight three and outs. It was bad up in there. And then Russ gets into a rhythm. He needs to plant his flag.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to, for lack of a better way of putting this, urinate in a corner and claim his territory. And so you let him do that. And now, if Justin Fields does get a chance to play, it's not going to be, oh, well, you got something with Justin. No, you let Russ do his thing, and now you can do it going forward, and you're not going to have that level of angst.
That's a very good observation, but do you think that's what they did?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It makes sense, but you think they said, wait a second, we don't want Justin come in here and have a 40-yard run, then yes. All of a sudden going to say, get Russell out of there.
Right. Yes. They played a bad quarter and a half of football offensively. And if you put Justin Fields in and he's a spark and then you go back to Russ and it doesn't look good, now
everything turns.
Yes.
I'm not saying for a series. I'm saying for a red zone opportunity.
Just him walking
in
onto the field.
Mm-hmm.
Would have just been the perception of that would have just changed the whole dynamic and the whole feel and the atmosphere of the stadium.
Yes.
And you didn't want to even flirt with that, the confidence of Russ. You wanted to get him into a groove. And yeah, I totally agree with it.
Russ cares. Russ is
he doesn't care,
13-year veteran, man.
But here's the thing. Like, at the end of the game, it's very easy to say the locker room's got to be thinking, oh, we got a guy in Russ. But if things stunk with Russ, and then Justin Fields comes in and there's any level of spark, and then you go back to Russ and he stinks, you might have guys going, what are we doing here?
But doesn't that apply to next week's game, too? How about if Russ is struggling and Justin comes in for a package and has.
Well, Doran, you tell me. Run. I mean, don't you. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I don't want to lead the witness here. But don't you think Russell Wilson just bought a lot of equity in that locker room?
He already has that foundation now.
Yeah.
We're talking about those the fans that decide to boo with. You know, maybe we should all just like boo the fans right now. I'm not going to say all of them. But that was embarrassing, man. The guy had six passes, and you're booing him.
Of course.
That's
unbelievable.
That's everywhere now. We were talking about
six
that
passes.
A little bit before.
Go through your timeline. Russell's cooked.
Crazy.
Get him out.
National
How long
guys.
Should they go? What are we talking about? It's six passes. Oh. Give the guy time to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he knocked the rust off, he looked good. And I would expect it to get better. And the Giants stink. Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. We'll make this quick. Miles Garrett called Deshaun Watson a model citizen. So that would be social media's biggest loser. Should the Steelers look across that huddle, see Mike Williams, and say, hey, why don't you just stick around in Pittsburgh? We'll talk about that briefly, plus the defensive performance, which can't be forgotten. How about Devontae Adams? His team gets to lose to the Steelers two consecutive weeks. Should they trade him to the Giants, guys? Thank you. I thought you were going for a total no-sell. I know the joke wasn't funny, but I needed a sound emitted from one of you. And that's what a teammate does.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you're dead to me. All right, how about Mike Williams?
He had a catch.
He sure did. Then he got pulled off the field and was ticked. He was shaking his head. He was mouthing stuff. He was mad. He made a play wide open, running down the defense, the second level, and they yank him right away. Rodgers crushed him last week. Do you think he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, Mark?
I don't see why not. I mean, here's the thing now. All of a sudden, guess who comes back into play? San Francisco.
Yeah.
Ayuk's hurt, right? Who else? Somebody else got hurt yesterday, receiver-wise.
So Ayuk, they're fearing it's an ACL, and he's going to be out for the year.
Oh, Juju got hurt, right?
Yep.
So all of a sudden, Kansas City needs somebody else. So maybe Mike Williams. Price tag just went up a little, but if you can acquire, I mean, I don't care anybody. Just get anybody in that room right now that has any type of talent at all. If you're giving up a 6th-round, 7th-round pick, you're eating a couple million bucks, that's fine. You have to find somebody else to bring in, even if some of those guys played decent yesterday. I say go for it, and I think they will. Well, if it's not him, it's going to be somebody.
What's more important, though, right now, if Dante Jackson's out? Corner?
Yeah, but I just don't know if there's a lot of corners out there that people are willing to give up.
You know what?
Give Pat Peterson the call, huh?
I don't.
Well, when's Cam Sutton coming?
I was just going to say.
He's coming back Carolina, Commanders game.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
he's off one more week.
He'd be your number two corner, and Beanie Bishop had the game of his life. So you feel better about it, I guess, now. But that's a big loss, though. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's playing
very well. I think he could have came back in because they announced he was questionable. Then they're like, oh, he'll be back. Then there's all of a sudden he's out. So when you do something like that, I don't know how bad it is. I don't know. I'm just speculating on this one. But he's had some issues with that shoulder recently. So if you get him back, you insert Cam Sutton into that slot role. All of a sudden, I mean, even if Beanie Bishop had two picks,
now you
all
got
of a
depth.
Sudden you got something to cook with right there.
Yes, you do. And here's some injury news from Jordan Schultz, who's a big-time NFL insider. He breaks all kind of stuff. Commanders rookie quarterback sensation Jaden Daniels is undergoing tests today to determine the severity of his rib injury. Per sources, initial tests on Sunday showed no fractures, but further tests today and possibly in the coming days will provide more clarity.
Yeah, maybe you should call Jarrett Jones up and see how long it takes to get from a rib injury when you're throwing the ball.
The Steelers don't play them this week. Then they don't play him the week after because it's the bye. So he'll have 3 weeks. Unless there's a fracture, he'll be playing in that game, I would think.
I don't know. If you pull some of those muscles, man, you're not throwing the ball.
It's the worst injury I've ever had.
Oh, well, what the hell do I know about?
It's tough. It's you can't laugh.
He has
can't cough.
Well, he's not out there laughing.
Well, I mean.
It ain't a stand-up comedy show.
Well, that's how severe it is. You can't even cough or you like get crippled. Think about taking a hit.
Boy, I really, really, really want him to play next week because it's Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. And that tickles me.
Mm-hmm.
That tickles my football bone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also like him to not be there against the Steelers. I don't root for guys to get hurt, but if guys are hurt and they play the Steelers, I'm totally fine with it.
Wait, didn't you root for Deshaun Watson to get hurt?
And then I actually felt bad when he was crying coming off the field. I'm too much of an empath. Bad guy, though.
Well, you're pulling out mousy words today.
Look, I feel good about today's show, guys. It's been a good show. I'm feeling good.
What did you say? A plum.
A plum.
He said a plum earlier.
Yeah.
Not in reference to a fruit.
I was going to say, I don't eat many plums. I'm not a big plum fan.
Love a plum. Love a great, ripe, juicy plum.
I'll take a peach. I mean, obviously, banana's a staple, right?
Yes.
Got to have bananas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good potassium, nectarine. Good for your heart.
Nectarine.
I like a peach. They're furry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like
Chambersburg peaches. But I would say my top fruit would be watermelon. Oh, man, I can eat that like crazy.
Really?
Oh, I love
that. Any time of year? Because you get them now, they're mealy.
I don't care what they are.
They're not that good.
Especially grapes.
And grapes, they're probably third. If I'm going my power pole of fruit, it would be watermelon, banana. You know, mango has to be up there too, top five.
I can't say I've had a lot of mango.
Well, it's not a fruit. These are not fruits.
No, mango. Of course, mango's a fruit. Mango's what else would it be?
Saying some idiot will probably say.
Tomato's a fruit.
I like pineapple a lot.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Depends. I went to Hawaii, and it's a different fruit there, man. It does not taste like American pineapple. I'm not American. Continental 48. Pineapples. Anybody who went to Hawaii knows what I'm talking about.
You ever had a snow cone in Alaska? It just doesn't taste the same.
That darn Hawaii and that different country.
What does it taste like?
It's just unbelievable. It's like you pick it off. I mean, it must go through some sort of process on its way over from Hawaii to here. I don't know what it is. Trust me, if anybody's out there who had a Hawaii pineapple straight off the vine or whatever, they cut it off the ground or whatever, you know what I'm talking about. I know you do.
Text us if you do at 412-928-9370. Two guys on the Steelers defense that are kind of flying under the radar, but my God, they shouldn't be. We'll tell you who they are coming up next. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We have mangled the clock, mismanaged it, and we're going to hand things off to Joe Starkey. I'm sorry, Craig Riley. My apologies. Two guys, unsung, kind of. Alex Highsmith, him being back, huge deal. Jets rush for 3.6 yards a carry and only 54 yards rushing. And is Cam Hayward getting the credit he deserves? He has been unbelievable.
He needs to get more.
But Deshaun Elliott.
Him too.
See, you did it already. Give Cam credit.
I just did something on Cam. So, you know, I think it's well aware that.
Oh, you wrote a story?
Well, yeah. It's on the top of the Twitter page.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an editor yet, by any chance?
No. You want a job?
I'm... No,
it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult at times. You know,
I'm just saying, and, you could use one.
Fat fingers and
Bad Why eyes. Is it all mangled up? Does he misspell words?
It's more. It's there's no grammatical errors, but there are frequent misspelled words. Yeah, that'll happen on Twitter. A lot of people texting and saying Caboli was right about the fresh Hawaiian pineapple. All right, that's going to do it for us. Great show today. Tomorrow we are all jacked up. And Jason Luck and Four are going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. A reminder, PetFest 24 is presented by Subaru. It's back October 27th. That's Sunday at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event runs 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, animal shelters, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, or join in the blessing of the pets at 9:30 a.m. PetFest brought to you by Point Breeze Veterinary Clinic, Shenerovich, Shenerovich & Fishman, and EV True Value Hardware. For more information, go to 937thefan.com. Thank you, Mark. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado, 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 76.